If there are those around us here that are not present today that you would like to particularly say to them, I really enjoyed the study of the providence of God this Sunday morning, then go to the website and listen and make sure that it's saying there what you would wish it to say along the way to be understood and help people. And if you feel like that about it, then mention it to someone else along the way. And perhaps also tell them that they can pick up this Sunday night lesson on what happens in our lives when things do not turn out good. There are things in the providential hand of God that all things work together for good, that somehow or another we deem that it did not turn out good in our daily walk of life. Perhaps it was the case that there was a trial that we faced, and as a result of that, we lost favor in regard to the outcome of it. And we decided that that was God's fault in that matter, and we blame God for it. There are people who blame the Lord at things that do not work out as they think they should, rather than in regard to the matter whether He is really justifiably guilty of holding back from us some blessing that would occur and make it be a good outcome rather than the outcome that it was. What does the Scripture tell us in regard to all of these particular matters, as well as the idea of the providence of God? In our study this morning, we got to see verses that were very positive, very helpful to us to recognize that God said He cares. And as I closed out the book of Philemon, chapter 1 and verse 15, in regard to Onesimus, perhaps it would be, he says, to Onesimus and to Philemon, perhaps it was that He departed you for a season, that He might be with you now forever. The hope of the soul was there involved with his perhaps, and the providential hand of God rest upon that word. It's in all of our old texts. There are a lot of studies that have been done regarding whether that word should be there or not, and it is. And it is the word perhaps. As he wrote along, perhaps it is, he left you for a season, that he might be with you forever. Well, the study of God's Word is important to us on the other side of the coin. What if bad things continually happen in our lives? Well, when Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 8 in reference to, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. Do we fail to continue to love God if things are not working out like we thought they would for the better? Do we continue to love God in spite of that? Should we not be people who follow the way of the Lord and continue to bless the Lord as Job did in the Old Testament? To those who stand about, his wife included, along the way with the others, did he not note to them, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him? And in regard to other characters of the Old Testament in their ways, Joseph saw his brothers so vicious against him, put him in a pit, finally sold him into slavery. There he is at Potiphar's house. All the opportunities he had to do and to disobey God, to fall away from the way of the Lord. But what did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife said, come and lie with me? He ran away. He left his coat in her hand. She had such a grip on him. There he was, without his garment, now she could use it against him, and thus she did. In her falsehoods of statement, she compelled the court to reassemble and for him to be placed into prison. In prison, he faces a situation where there are dreams that are held there, and he interprets dreams. According to the butler, there you will serve once again, king. You will serve wine at the king's court. You will be restored to your position someday. To the cook, their animals will come and vultures will come and they'll pick out your flesh and your eyes and your skin because you're going to be hanged, you're going to be hung, you'll die. And it happened just exactly as he had predicted it would take place. Only to find that when he said, when you get to the king and you see this and you tell him about me down here, the man forgets him for 2 years. For 2 years, he is forgetting him. instead of failing to love God, and instead of failing to do what the Lord said do, if he had gotten himself into profanities and vulgarities and the like, forget about all this thing about being faithful to God. I'm being bothered by every hand. I'm being lied against. I'm being placed in prison unjustly. Here I am with this man I helped, and now then he's forgotten all about me. What's the deal? He could have gone that way, and believe you me, I have met with people through the years that did go that way. They did have that opposition to God for the things they were seeing happen. It's kind of like the missionary story of the couple who came back to America after being overseas many years. They arrived at the airport. They got off the plane, down to the tarmac they were, and into the hallways and get their baggage and the like, and they had no one to meet and greet them there, as others did. Others met their family members, hugged them, oh, it's good to see you again, good to have you back safely. All this sort of thing was going on. And he was discouraged. The story goes on to say that his wife looked at him and said, "Listen, we're not home yet. We're back here, but we're not home yet." That's a good point to be made. Disappointments we've allowed to be with us now. But back to Joseph. Joseph was in a situation where when he was then called upon, because the Pharaoh has a dream and his wise men can't interpret it for him, and he doesn't have any help, and he's wearied by about it. And here is his butler who is bringing him things and says, "Oh, I got to tell you something. I had a man tell me that I was going to be restored to this very position. I was going to be serving once again. I would live. I had a buddy over there that he told him he was going to be hanged. He was going to die. And indeed, that happened just like that for him. And it happened just like he said for me." Well, immediately, Joseph is summoned to come and tell this particular story. He doesn't come in and say, "Oh, let me tell you what. If you'll tell me, like his wise men had said, what you dreamed." And he said, "That's the problem. I can't tell you what I dreamed to them. And I'm going to take your lives if you don't come up with an explanation about this." But it was the situation where Joseph came in and said, "The dream that you had is an illustration of what's going to happen in the next 14 years of time. There are going to be 7 years that go by that you've never seen such a harvest that we'll have. Wonderful blessings will be here. It'll be an abundance to eat. It'll be abundance for everybody. Followed by 7 years that you will eat up all that harvest. You will eat up all that abundance. And you'll still be hungry because 7 years of untold famine is going to occur. Following those 7 years of plenty, there are going to be 7 years of famine." Yes, the God I serve has told me this. Well, here it was that Pharaoh says, "I'll tell you what." He was intending on killing Joseph if in at the end of those years it hadn't occurred as he said. No doubt in my mind he was going to do that. But it did happen like Joseph said, because God's true with what he says. And what he said there was, there'd be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of untold famine throughout Egypt. What God has said, he will fulfill. In his son, in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, it is said, "Even though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made complete or perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Is that the promise of God to us who obey the Lord? No matter the circumstances, no matter the disappointments, no matter the uncertainties, no matter how it turned out that we didn't see all the good that could be in it, if we would obey the Lord. Listen again what he says. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. If I would obey what he says, then I will have a blessing of eternal hope and eternal reward. if I'll get on to that business. I'll love him for that. I will not lack my love for him. And after all, what is true love? In 1 Corinthians 13, we're told what true love is. Listen to the last admonitions in that chapter of what true love is. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. If I love God like I should love God, and the meaning of love is with me, I will have hope. I will have faith in. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. I'll have that kind of love no matter the circumstances of life. There are those that have lost a husband or wife, cheating on them, being unfaithful, have left the countryside in that regard. There are those that have suffered the loss by an accident that took place, unfortunately, the life of a child or the life of a mate. I've seen people turn against God on the basis of some of those things, and I wondered along the way. And of course, at that point in time, you don't belittle and bitterly treat individuals of that nature. You try to bring them back to the basic understanding and the thought, and some of them that have been brought back to that thought that they didn't need to be critical of God. The uncertainties of life brought about the accident that caused the death. It wasn't God intentionally did this. And James, they refer to the fact in James 1 that God did not bring the temptation to us. He cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But man is tempted when he is drawn aside of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it has enticed, and brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And so that's what comes from the hand of man and the Satan and the ways of not of God. But God cannot be tempted like that. And neither does he tempt any man with evil. The opportunities that God gives us to grow and to be people of Him comes from the fact of our love for Him and the opportunities we have to serve Him and look forward to all things turning out for good to those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. But if not, I'm counting the hands of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who in the Old Testament found themselves with names changed, and there they were in prison, and all that goes along with their being hurt and harmed, and they were asked to be sure to be bowing before this idol and this ways of God and this ways of this man. And they said, our God is able to deliver us from your hand. Our God is able to do that. But then they added, if not, it remains for us to tell you, we still are not going to bow before you and the man-made images that you set forth, for they're only of man. They were essentially saying, and our lives are at your hand, and our physical life is all you can take, because our spiritual lives are serving the God that we know, who is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't choose to do it right now, we're still not going to bow and serve an image that we know is not God-made, it's simply man-made. That's all it is to it. When we commit ourselves to the love of God, and we commit ourselves to walking as he has called us, according to his word, obedient to his will, we find ourselves enjoying a relationship with him that will be sustaining to us as we look for the providence of God. Along the way, I don't believe there are certain things that we should do. I don't believe that Joseph should have become vindictive against God and profanities to his fellow man and things of this nature and show no faith in God at all in this matter. I believe that he was a good and wonderful example of someone who still cared about them and cared about them enough to come up and explain what's going to happen the next 14 years in spite of the situation. I believe it was right for Cornelius, who was instructed to send to Joppa for one named Simon Peter, who has come, he'll tell you what you ought to do That's Acts 10 and verse 6. He'll tell you what you ought to do. It was right for him to send for Simon Peter and to obey what Simon Peter told him when he came to his household. The fact that he was a good man, a righteous man, a faithful man, a man who helped the poor, a man who taught his family, in spite of all that, the idea is he was now offered opportunity to go beyond. There's something else you ought to do, and when Simon Peter comes to your house, he'll tell you what you ought to do. And he ought to have done it, and he did do it. And because of that, we read about him in the fullness of his faith and obedience to the ways of the Lord. May it be said of us that we'll be read about in some day to come. Our future faith in the service of God, no matter the circumstances that we may be disappointed about, because of our weakness and knowledge of what's going on, it will be the case that we still love the Lord and we still are obedient to our understood teaching. What a blessing. Let's stand together as we sing this song to remind ourselves we ought to be servants of God.
Someday you'll come death to fall on time. Someday your record you'll say. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul conscious and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Someone was asking me today about